So, you know, when I first noticed you, so no, let me take it way back. I think 2017 or 2018, my producer Kwame and I went to Nigeria because he worked on a documentary that got nominated for AFRIF. So we went there and we went clubbing that night. Mm-hmm. And guess who was in the club? Hey guys, welcome to another exciting episode of the Sincerely Your Crowd podcast. Of course, yes, indeed. My name is Joseph Inti and I am your host and I am glad to be back. You know, of course, any chance that I have to engage, to talk and to entertain you guys, I'm always going to take it. I want to give a quick shout out to my co-creator and producer, Mr. Kwame Asante Ofori. Of course, I also want to shout out the Gold Coast Report. That is the number one podcast hosting network in Idaho, Ghana. Welcome, people. Look, it's another episode, and you know what it is. We always have to get into quite a number of things. So I don't want to stretch it. I don't want to do too long. Let's just get the episode rolling. Tripping on my words, checking on my lips.
Offering my life, I'm waiting, waiting. I see colors every time I miss you, it's crazy. Fashion overfit, how you be stepping, reckless. You know how, you do know how it plays. A statement, basement, low key as it gets. Wish you face it, we're faded. Taking all my chance, no replacing. No replacing.
All right, so on this episode, we're going to be starting out with our regular segment, What is Trending? What is popping off? What are people talking about? And, you know, look, as usual, I just cannot sit my ass down. So I'm coming to you recording this yet again under a blanket in an Airbnb all the way from Johannesburg. You know, don't ask questions. You know, the funny thing about like talking about travel as a Ghanaian is I always almost fall into this mindset that people are going to think like I'm bragging or like, you know what I mean? But it's like, you're just talking about your experiences or things that you are doing. But it's like, if you come from Ghana or you grew up in Ghana, like there's this mindset about like traveling, being able to travel, talking about travel. But this is to say it's none of that, I'm just saying. But I'm actually very exhausted. This is one of those situations where I had to send a recording in for us to meet the deadline. And we also had a space that we did today. So I had to do 3 hours of conversation on that, on top of the whole day of being a tourist. And after the 3 hour conversation on spaces, I'm here to record this. So we're going to pull through, guys. This is not the first and I know it will not be the last, but we always do what we need to do to get you guys what you need. Okay, so let's start with what's trending. I want to start out by talking about BBN post show. For those of you who watch BBN 10 over 10, this season was electric, was fire. Every single one of those contestants brought something. And it's so crazy to me that their post-show media run, I think it's been a week, right? Since they ended, a week or two. And the post-show media run has just been as entertaining as what's been going on in the house. From us witnessing Cole's sudden amnesia when it comes to Diddy, avoiding any and every question, Diddy and Coing, like, I don't know what's going on with this whole cool shoulder. Like, just the vibes is just very interesting to watch whenever they're in interviews. And I also saw that, like, they are rejecting ship gifts. Like, people who were shipping them were, you know, Anita and Tova were not about that business, okay? Anita and Tova were taking your gifts and they were not promising you guys any ship. But yeah, it's just interesting to see. There was one time Diddy was on live, she was calling Doris, and Doris was like, why are you calling me like that? It was just very, you know, honestly, Doris gives Mean Girl energy down. And And I honestly can't wait to see her at the reunion. I see that she and Denari are getting very cozy. They are doing machi machi, doing photo shoots. I'm like, ah, I really do hope that this thing works out for you, girl, because you're going to look very funny at the reunion if it doesn't, you know? But anyway, you know, what's it called? Zita and Dede's Mag. Remember when that picture from one of the prize presentations, Dede was wearing the blue dress, Zita was wearing the red dress? Girl, the picture has gone into mainstream Twitter. Like, people are just like talking about how mugged out they look. And I'm like, yes, I really love it. Like, just watching everything, you know, from the fashions. Honestly, look, no matter what it was, I just feel like whatever glam they put Missy in, we were always going to look at it two ways because of what she gave on the show. We didn't really see her put herself together. Because I saw a lot of comments about, oh, why did they keep putting her in suits? Who is her stylist? And when I get all of that, I feel like Missy doesn't really have like a look. I feel like they took advantage of this to try out different things. Sometimes she looked okay. Sometimes she looked out of place. But it's fine. You know, hey, it's a conversation. There's a lot of crazy things just going on. I just want to say this set, they have really brought it. And even like I'm saying, post shoot, we are still seeing things going on. I saw Faith had a interview that he was supposed to do with Glory Elijah, and then it got canceled indefinitely. And then I've seen that he's gone into this whole bag of like, I think he was doing some medical events or whatever, you know. Honestly, the thing with Faith though is I saw some of the captions that he's been putting out since the whole thing. And it's just really, it doesn't seem like someone that's taking accountability for his actions. And I just really get that a lot. Even from in the house, when he would do something, upset the whole house, whatever, he'd feel so justified in the methods. You know, for me, it's not whether like he's right or wrong. It's just the methods and the way he goes about things. You know what I mean? But anyway, kudos to you guys, 10 over 10. You've been great. And I honestly can't wait to see what everybody gets up to. I saw that Don Boskid is already, you know, he's been cast in a role. Tinsel, no, shout out to you. Looking forward to it. Anyway, okay, so next thing, Yao Tog has got a new EP, Talk City, coming out. Wait, is it an album? Yo, hold on. Let me just clarify. But yeah, you know, Yao Tog did an interview with headless YouTuber, Kula. And in his, let me see, what did he say here? Talk City is out. Is this an album? The solitude whispered me, "Green, now it's time to rage and conquer. Bless the souls who helped me bring my vision to life." Featuring guests, Stone Boy, Darko Vibes, The Man Sudeizi. Honestly, I can't even tell. Is Talk City? Wait, hold on. Well, I think it's an EP. But anyway, yeah, he was on Kula's show and he was talking about how, look, a lot of people that were around him are no longer around him. I mean, he mentioned some artist names. I don't think he was saying it like as a complaint. It was just, you know, Kula was asking about his relationship with different artists and it was like, oh, you know, we used to hang, we used to talk not as much, you know, a lot of people have left. And he kept just harping on the industry and how people switch up on you when you're not really hot. Because, you know, Yao Tog had a big song. Sorry was so big. He was just a Form 3 boy, right? And the song just blew up. And for some reason, he's just not been able to deliver on a hit. And, you know, I always say this thing as an artist. It's kind of like a curse, you know, to start out your career with a massive hit. Because it's like, how'd you follow it up? You know what I mean? If your next song is not equally big or interesting, and then now you start to decline, it is so crazy because you literally, this guy performed with Stormzy at Global Sing Festival. Yao Tog was big. You know what I mean? And so I get it. The industry is fickle. People form bonds based on like what they can get out of you. Oh, Yao Tog is popping right now. He has the biggest song. Okay, if I'm seen in his videos and stuff like that, I gain some kind of relevance and recognition. It is what it is. You know what I mean? And it's like the president said, when he was no longer president, he said he stopped receiving certain calls, he stopped getting visitors, the hampers and things dried up. Yes. You're no longer of use. You know what I mean? And I think that's what it is. A lot of people were trying to make it look like he was trying to paint people bad and say this and that. No, but it is the reality on the ground. And the thing about Ghanaians is like, y'all just love to sweep everything under the mat, right? He's talking about his feelings and how he felt about people who are no longer around him and everything. And it's like, oh, why is he saying this? Why is he saying that? It's an interview. He's talking about his experience. He has an EP, a project to sell. Of course, that's what happens. I tell you guys, artists go around on these shows when they have something to market, because why else are they sitting there and being in your faces? You are listening to the story but you're going to find out about an EP. You know what I mean? So yeah, I just wanted to talk on that, but it is whatever. Y'all just let that go. Also, in the news, Daddy Lubez Estate is going through it, guys. Let me just break it down. Okay. So Daddy Lumba was married to his first wife, who is Akusia Sewa, right? Marriage of ordinance, signed, court wedding, and everything. And according to what I've read, allegedly, 15 years ago, when Daddy Lumba decided to move to Ghana because he was not well, his wife, Akusia Sewa, refused to move with him. So he came on his own. And when he came, you know Daddy Lumba, he found a wife, Odo Bruni, who has children for him. And people, I don't know if they had a traditional marriage or not. I think they said they took drinks or whatever. But the ordinance marriage in Germany between Daddy Lumba and Akusia Sewa trumps the marriage that is between he and Odo Bruni. And I don't know, I saw a flyer that was saying that Daddy Lumba was going to be buried on the December 6th at the Baba Yara Sports Stadium. And I think that's what sent them into a frenzy, because the first wife and her team of lawyers put out a press release. Okay, now this is what it says. Mrs. Akusia Sewa Fusu, widow, and Miss Ernestina Fusu, elder sister of the deceased. The family, this is on behalf of them, the family of the late Mr. Charles Kujo Fusu, a 60-year-old German citizen of Ghanaian origin, is calling for an independent and transparent investigation into the circumstances surrounding his death in Ghana on 26 July 2025. Now listen, Akusia Sewa is basically saying that we've got three different accounts of how, you see how she's coming into the game? She's like, no, I mean, she's coming into the game like, let's start from the beginning. My husband came to Ghana how many years ago? And he's been living here 15 years. All of a sudden, he just died mysteriously. And we have three different, like, eyewitness accounts, right? So one person in the press release, they said, an eyewitness reported that on the night of the incident, the late Mr. Fusu called a friend to come to his residence. Upon arrival, the friend was prevented from seeing him by a woman living with Mr. Fusu. After waiting for nearly 2 hours, he left. On his way home, he received a call informing him that Mr. Fusu had died at home. That's one eyewitness account, allegedly. The second eyewitness account, according to this press statement, is that this is the police and coroner's report. A report from the Ghana Police Service and the coroner at the District Magistrate Court in Accra stated that Mr. Fusu, a known diabetic, complained of pain in his legs and waist on 24 July 2025, and he was taken to the Sunshine Diagnostic Center for an MRI scan. Due to agitation and fear, he was placed under anesthesia. After the scan, he developed severe pain and was transferred to the Bank Hospital, where he died on 26 July. That is the second account that they have. The third account that they have is that Mrs. Priscilla O initially informed the family during the first family meeting that Mr. Fusu had been taken to the Bank Hospital, where he received an injection that caused him severe pain before he passed away. However, the following day, when Kwesi, a cousin of the late Mr. Fusu, approached her with the same question, she gave a different account, stating that Mr. Fusu had actually died at home and that she had cleaned and dressed the body before calling a friend identified as Sewa E. Oh, is that Sewa me here? Oh. Sewa A to assist her in taking him to the hospital. Since then, Mrs. Priscilla O has declined to provide any further information, and her statements remain inconsistent and contradictory. They said, listen, three different accounts. What happened? Who killed my husband? What is going on? So basically, funeral, whatever, everything is halted. And right before I recorded this, I saw that they went to court today and the case has been adjourned to, I think October 26th or 27th, one of them. Look, this is going to be long and drawn out, and I think one thing that's clear is if by the next day something is not tangibly put out, that funeral has to happen in December, and this is what it is. It's crazy because Daddy Lumba has songs, music, where he's talking about this. He spoke to his two wives and said, when I die, let's not do this, let's not do that. But hey, yo, if wishes were horses, you know what I mean? Because again, you also have to look at like what were the circumstances around the marriages? How were the two women introduced to each other? Was this done in a respectful way, which was aware? You know what I mean? I don't know the law. I need to get into it, but it's very easy to make it look like, you know, these women are fighting each other, but it's like, what did the man contribute to it whilst he was alive? How were these two marriages like? You know what I mean? So those of you that know Lumba Core, maybe you can tell me, but I'm going to have to look into it properly. Like, because I remember seeing a video that Sewa Amir puts out during the 1 week or something like that, where she was talking to both wives. And lots of people were encouraging both of them to like, you know, not mom on trick cry this animal. I've seen a lot of that. But I mean, it's Ghana. Yepesa, purity culture, the posturing. You know, people have to fake things because y'all don't want people to feel the real things that they felt. So these women probably sat there and acted like they were cool with each other, but maybe they were not. You know what I mean? But anyway, we're going to be watching this story because this is a big story. And this, honestly, I am looking out for the funeral and what it's going to be, because I know this is going to be like a statewide funeral. And so the fact that this is happening is kind of like, you know, it's like halting the funeral. And so let's see. Let's see. Next thing, Molly and Zinoliski. Okay, first of all, shout out Molly. Shakes of the Max turned one last week. And she did a video about like how much work she had to put in to get that record to go where it went and take care of the place that it's been. And I've been impressed with Molly, like, because I feel like I knew about Molly from Amaray. And I just started seeing Shakes of the Max everywhere. And I liked the efforts and how the song had it dance and everything. I followed her, you know, and because I followed her like a bit early on there, I've kind of had a front seat at watching how this has just translated to all that it has, you know, the features, going out on Vibes Cartel stage. Like, bruh, Molly is had a great year. Like, she's putting the work and is showing off. And so it comes as no surprise that she's now being used by people to revive their careers. Like, honestly, look, Molly has a song coming out with Tyler. By the time this episode comes out, it's already out. It's called Body Go. Okay. Now, at some point, there was an account that tweeted that Molly has a song coming out with Zinoliski on Friday, the same time that he has a song with Tyler. And Molly was very confused and quoted and said, who? Tell me why Zinoliski goes and tweets, bitch said who? And I'm like, from where to where? You get what I'm trying to say? And now it becomes a thing because it's like, now they're going at it. And he's saying things like, Zinoliski called Molly a two-hit wonder. He said, two-hit wonder, and I don't even know the second song. But you know it's a hit. But you know it's a hit, Zino. Now, look, for those of you who don't know Zinoliski, Zinoliski, he was, you know, he was coming up and popping a little bit. He came from the same camp as Mobad, you know, being Naira Marley's people. And so when Mobad died and everybody was like accusing Naira Marley, because apparently there was a lot of like, allegedly, there was a lot of like physical abuse and whatever. Zinoliski fell off because people felt like he was complicit. He was in the camp. He didn't see anything. Mobad was his brother. You know, that was a very heavy era. So he kind of fell off because nobody was checking for him. Even Naira Marley, nobody was checking for him until they came out and they found him not guilty or something. And I remember he came to do that long Twitter post to be. But anyway, when I saw this, I knew exactly what was going on. Zino is just trying to get attention, just trying to get relevance from Molly, because who's popping right now? Who's popping like a beef with? He's not going to try with Davido, Wizkid, or anybody like that. It's easy to come over, cross here, pick someone that he thinks is a nobody because, oh, all you know is Shakes to the Max. But don't play. One thing I will give you, Molly's social media interaction, her online presence, is very interesting. It's very personality-led and driven. And it's something that I've been saying about Ghanaian artists all the time. Like, they do not show personality, so you don't have anything to love outside of the music. If you love somebody and who they are, you will pardon a bad song. Yes. And that's another thing. So I really like how she's like, she went toe-to-toe with this guy who on Twitter. It's crazy. When he said to his one die, and I don't even know the second song, she said, very grateful to not be known by you. Artists that know me aren't local champions. And girl, she can say that, because she was on the stage with Vibes Cartel. She, even before she announced the song, she had taken pictures with Tyler. She's met like huge, bruh, Molly was at BET. She's met like big artists. What are you talking about? You know what I mean? So for me, it's just, you know, it's a marketing ploy. I'm expecting Zino to release a project or a song or something in a week or two. Else, what would have been the point of all of this? Because I don't see this. Like, girl, he knows who she is. It was all very deliberate. Like, people are pulling up their Spotify monthly streams. Like, Molly has 14.6 million monthly streams on Spotify, and Zino has 2.3 million. I mean, look at the gap. What are we talking about here? You know, but I'm not even going to be bad and say Molly shouldn't have interacted. Like I said, I like that she's personality driven and she was giving him back to back. It is what it is. I heard he's deleted his tweets now, but girl, screenshots never lie. Never lie. Okay. Well, you know, I saw two little things. Maybe I'll get into it. But I saw a little playful banter between Mr. Drew and Olive the Boy. And I was like, I hope these guys are not about to fight. It was a tweet about, somebody tweeted and said that if Olive the Boy comes on your song, like on the remix, forget it. Like, he's going to make the song his. And then Mr. Drew quoted a tweet with a video of him performing somewhere. I guess it was a feature song that he also believes that he has killed. I really couldn't get the song when I was listening. And Olive the Boy quoted it and said that, are you sure with your... he made fun of him, like, with his singing, saying that he was singing off-key or something like that, you know. And then I think it was playful banter, because honestly, Mr. Drew is a very, like, he teases people quite a lot. I've noticed the thing about him. And so maybe it could be them just going back and forth, but I didn't think anything was made of it. And I also saw a tweet from Zach Cordier that was saying that, you know, for a number of years now, he's chosen what he gives his energy to and people should try it. You know, I don't know what the conversation on the TL was for him to tweet that, but I feel like it's giving, they expect him to say something about something else going on. I don't know whether it's a Stone Boy situation or whatever, but he was like, you know, he's picked his piece. He doesn't give his energy to certain things. Everybody should try to help them. I was like, yay, here we go. If it's one thing he's going to do, he's going to RF farm. It's just that he does it in a different way than Stone. Stone Boy started out with Kula. And, you know, I haven't listened to the full interview, mind you. But basically, like I'm saying, I don't think, like, Stone Boy doesn't operate from where you guys are seeing him to be operating from, or at least that's what he thinks, unless there he's just gonna sit in you people's faces and give you a different answer and response. But like, yeah, for him, he's his show in 26th December at Cry Sports Stadium is coming up. He's promoting that. The new EP is out. He's promoting that. For him, it's just marketing. He's out here doing shit, you know what I mean? He spoke a little bit about how his fans only react to disrespect and like they don't really start things, you know. So it was a whole like conversation about SM Sarkodie, you know. Quite frankly, it's just a little bit exhausting to me. This beef has gone on for far too long. It hasn't done anything for the industry, if you ask me. They actually stand a lot more to gain if they came together, because the brand pool and partnerships that Stone Boy has, if he combines with the brand pool and partnership that Sarkodie has, and then you know, whatever Shatta Willie will bring, it will get them, it will open certain doors and allow them to do certain things that will contribute to, you know, certain statistics, you know, that will be iconic or whatever. But I don't know. Beef for me has become very uninteresting because it has stopped being real beef to manufactured beef, and there's no fun in that. Back then, XO in Chicago, them niggas wanted to fight each other down. You know what I mean? Now it's like, okay, I need to like make some commotion. Lord Pippa came into the scene with like soft porn. It's done. Nobody cares for that anymore. Like, OnlyFans is up and down RTL. That is no longer triggering. How do you get people's attention? Insult somebody. Insult big players in the game. And it's very lowbrow, low-hanging fruit. It's tired. Come on, guys. Let talent speak. Anyway, that's what's been trending. Yeah, I think we're going to cap it off over there. But we have a great show for you guys, because we have a very interesting personality, guys, that you're going to listen to. You're going to hear, get into her story, get into her lore. We even get to do a listen letter with her. She gives some advice and, you know, yeah. So, you know, enjoy your stick and stay. When you hear from me again, on the other end of this, I'll be giving you guys the shout outs.
So you can save all your emotions for a better days, my guy. Been in the ceiling for a minute, I did oversee how everything they got, my guy. So you can save all your emotions for a better days, my guy. Been in the ceiling for a minute, I did oversee.
It's been a minute, so far we're good. Up in my boots. Head to my roots, and there's a lot of things we feel make a lose. I keep it cool, I keep it juice. They got them bottom me, I make the rules. I'm here to rule, not here for cruise. Keep your apology, this thing gon' be new. My guy, you knew what you was doing.
Only real G's in the gang. You should know if you want day for my skin. Nigga, don't try to make amends. If you mess up, I don't know you again. Only real G's in the gang. You should know if you want day for my skin. Nigga, don't try to make amends. If you mess up, I don't know you again.
So you can save all your emotions for better days, my guy. Been in the ceiling for a minute, I did oversee how everything they got, my guy. So you can save all your emotions for better days, my guy.
Alright, look, today we have a multidisciplinarian, talented. I mean, I thought she was just a content creator until I looked it up, and she's a creative, she's a comedian, she's a professional color stylist. She even had hair tutorials classes online. She's an MC, okay? Social media influence in Crown. I don't even see that is like the top of what she does, because like, she's everything. You can simply call her an international slay mama.
Yes. Today we have Beverly Adaize.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah,
I'm a dog walker too.
You're a dog walker? Yes. Where?
I used to walk my dog, you know, so add that to my resume.
Just your dog. That one's no pass. Oh my God, the surname right now.
Yes, Adaize.
Adaize.
Yes. And you know, people think Adaize is actually my last name. It's actually my first name.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So it's what? Adaize Beverly.
Adaize Beverly. It wasn't until I got to the States that my parents switched it. And I kind of wish it never did. Ah. So when I go to Nigeria, nobody calls me Beverly.
Oh, they're okay. Adaize.
Yeah. Even when my parents say Beverly is weird. Mm. And the new one was say, right, like, my daughter, Beverly. And I'm just like, please.
Oh, they have the accent.
Yes. So yeah. I was like, just say Adaize. It's okay. But yes.
Beverly, what does Adaize mean?
Adaize means the first daughter of a king.
Oh, so you're a firstborn?
Yes.
Oh my God. Firstborn daughters. Okay. Look, I know you are a bona fide plantain lover.
I love.
So you have to pick soft plantain, hard plantain. Which one? I'm hard plantain. I think soft plantain is disgusting.
My friend Anissa thinks the same thing. How hard?
Like, you know, like firm, you know.
Is it green?
No. Okay, that's not ripe. It has to be ripe, but it's like firm. When you fry it, you know, it started, the body's, but more, when the soft one is like mushy.
When it just picks up too much oil.
Yeah.
Okay, then okay. Yeah. The hard one is okay. Yeah. It's okay. Yeah.
Really?
I'm trying to watch my waist. That's it. Because it picks up too much oil and it's too sweet.
Yeah.
But I feel like if we can get right in the middle, that's right, like middle? That's my sweet spot. Yeah.
No, me, I like the firm one. You know, then you cut it diagonally. So it's kind of like a, you know,
sometimes it's okay. I like it on the softer side, but because of my waist and my back, I say, let me move towards. Yeah.
So that doesn't get too much oil. Wrong. It cannot.
No.
It cannot.
I love it in every form. You know, I actually had Eto.
Yes.
For the first time.
Okay.
I had it like, what, 3-4 days ago. So I was like, okay. But because the base was plantain, I'm like, okay, but it can't do any wrong. But I felt like the ingredients were interesting. Plantain, onions, peanut butter, the fish. What is that fish? The fermented fish.
I don't know what it's called.
Momone.
Oh yeah, they put momone.
Yeah,
in it.
Yeah. So okay. It was a lot, but it was good. It was a lot of ingredients.
Did they put avocado on top?
Yes.
Yeah, they usually do that.
Onion,
oh, that's nice.
Nuts.
You're lucky because you know you have yam eto and then there's plantain eto. So you have.
I think I like the plant. Yes.
Of course, you're gonna
like. I don't know if I would have liked the yam one as much.
Yeah. Of course. No, I think the plantain was actually sweeter.
Yes.
The yam one, if you are eating, you need water.
Really?
It's going to choke you.
It's a lot of flavor. So plantain one, she did well.
Yeah. So this is your third time in Ghana.
Yes.
And you're here with a group called KLA.
Yes.
Tell us, what is KLA? I saw it on your Instagram. It's okay.
KLA goes to Ghana. So she curates travel for people who want to experience Africa, but maybe they're a bit nervous. Mm-hmm. They've never been to the country before. So she invited me to kind of come and host and, you know, kind of make people more comfortable. So we had like 7 days. I mean, technically it was vacation, but I was walking, but it was really fun. Like just the detail that she put into things. I mean, there was even a point where we were at Cape Coast and, you know, we had to look in a certain dungeon and the ladies had lights ready for us, you know, just so it can make things easier. And so, I mean, everything is just planned. You just kind of show up.
Mm.
So she did really, really well.
What's been the highlight of that? Cause I've been seeing the updates and I mean, everything looks fun.
Yeah.
But what's been the highlight of the trip?
For me, I think it's getting to know the ladies. Mm-hmm. And then also, we had a cooking class that was really fun. So I was supposed to make Ghana jollof. So
why are you saying it like that?
Because I'm Nigerian. So I have to keep the banter going, but it was really nice. And you know, we almost won. I feel like we should have added more stock powder. We could have won, but it was good.
So you didn't win.
We're second place.
Yeah.
But I feel like it was because they knew we were Nigerian, so they couldn't give it to us.
Oh, please. You know, I'm not even going to belabor the point because personally, I think the Jollof War is tired.
Yeah.
Let's move on to something else. But, so with the first two times you came here, what was that? It was just
a visit and to visit my friend. And usually because, I mean, Nigeria is right there. So I feel like whenever I come, if I come to Ghana and I don't go to Nigeria, or if I, you know, really my family feels like I betrayed them.
Yeah.
So anytime I come to Ghana, I have to go to Nigeria. Yeah. Yeah.
I see. You won a singing competition on the cruise. We did not hear the last of it. Beverly, are you going to defend that title again?
I will absolutely, yes.
You will?
Yes.
What
yes.
song did you sing to it?
I sang Aretha Franklin, R-E-S-P-E-C-T, Respects.
Can we get a little bit of
it? Hey, no, it's
what okay. you mean? Let's go. Maybe I did the wrong key.
Maybe
you could.
I don't know. You're making me nervous.
You can do it.
Why
are you nervous now? International Slave Mama, I believe in you. Just one line. See? Shoot.
What is it? Baby, I got it.
Come on.
What you need.
Uh-huh.
You know I got it. Mm-hmm. All I'm asking is for a little respect when you come home. Okay, that's
it. Oh, you can sing. Oh, baby. Well, I mean, you're not taking it serious.
I know. One day, we'll see.
Anyway, it's never too late. So I was so shocked to find out you've been doing hair since you were 11.
Uh-huh.
How did you start? Was your mom hairstylist?
So I was actually an only child for 14 years.
Ah.
So out of boredom, I remember my mom came into my room and she gave me like this cosmetology mannequin.
Okay.
And I think she tried beauty school when she was in Nigeria. She just had the mannequin. So she gave it to me. Mm-hmm. Literally out of boredom is where my hair career started. So I would just be in my room practicing braids because I don't know what else to talk to. So my mannequin was literally my best friend. I still have that mannequin till today, actually.
Really?
Yes.
Do you have a name for it?
No, I don't.
You should name it.
I don't. I should. But you know what's so interesting? What? Like, I feel like people would get weirded out because I have like at least 20 mannequins.
Mm-hmm.
And so sometimes if I'm making a wig, they'll just kind of be on my tripod. Mm-hmm. You know, I'll be sleeping. They'll be facing me. But it doesn't, I'm so used to them. But I feel like if someone else was there, it would freak them
out. You never wake up in the middle of the night and be like, who be that?
No. But even if I trick it with spin and it shouts, I go, calm down. I'm so used to them. Yeah. So it doesn't freak me out. But anyway, after that, I would just practice braiding. And when I was in college, I would do like sewing. So I was like one out of the two or three girls that would do sewing.
Oh, I bet you were making money.
I was eating organic as a college student.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So I was making decent money. And then after that, I received my degree. And then I went to, I decided, you know what, mom and dad, I'm going to do my own thing and I'm going to pursue my hair career. They hated it. They fought me.
Oh,
they fought me so much, but I still did it. I graduated. And what's crazy was I won a national, competition as a cosmetology student. And so just in that industry, I just kind of thrived. And now I'm still licensed.
Yes.
I don't do hair, you know, behind the chair anymore, but I will always be in the hair industry.
Mm.
Like always, always, always. And even when I, you know, stopped and I moved to Colombia, my parents were like, why did you stop
the hair?
That's what they do. Go find them.
No, but so, at which point did you leave Nigeria to America?
I was seven.
Seven.
Yes.
Oh, okay. So you said at 11 when you started doing hair, that was already in America. Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. I see.
Yeah.
And, so you say you're an only child for 14 years. Mm-hmm. Do you have siblings?
I have
now?
One brother.
Just one.
Yes.
What was that family dynamic like? You know, being 14 years older than him, growing up in the household.
I'm such a mom.
Oh, yeah. Daughter.
So I have to, I disappoint him. And it feels like my parents even contact me. How your brother has been doing it? This is what the teacher said that he did. So it's like I become the parent. Because I feel like when they get older, you know, you kind of tired.
Listen, last borns have it so easy. Because like by proxy, they're like, I trained this one will train the rest.
Right. But I think I had to kind of pause. The moment when I went to his school and I actually sat down at the back of his school, I said, yeah, this is a bit too much. Because I'm in my 20s.
Yeah.
I'm not ready for parenthood yet. So I said, no, it's okay.
This is crazy. Fine.
They'll figure it out.
Mm-hmm. Would you say because of like, you know, that role that you had to play, you pull from, you know, some of those instances to do some of your motherly characters? Because, you know, the African mother character that you do it so well.
I think, honestly, that comes from me watching my mother, my grandmother, and my aunts, and then some just aunties that I've kind of seen. I feel like that's, like, African characters, all of those women in one person.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I don't think, I mean, when I talk to my brother, I talk like this, right? But I feel like naturally I'm just a very observant person.
Mm-hmm.
So my mom would do something, and it would annoy me at the time, but I'm like, that was kind of funny, yo. So I'll turn into a skit, and it's actually it's annoying in the moment, but it's actually funny.
For
the
rest of the world.
My trauma is funny. So
you know, they say funny people have trauma.
Uh-huh.
We literally like take trauma and then we just try and make it something.
Until they have shaved your head. Until they have scraped your head to go to school, you know trauma.
Somebody scraped your head to go to school.
Who is somebody? My father, my mother.
In America?
Yes, no.
Which school?
I was in middle school.
What did you do?
Okay, so it wasn't that bad. So my mom warned me first. This was the warning.
Mm-hmm.
She said, I don't want you to wear hoop earrings to go to school.
Oh, okay.
Right. But you know, the school that I was in, you know, it wasn't like in the suburbs or anything, but, there was one time I forgot to take it off.
Oh.
And she caught me. So she told me the warning was she was going to take my eyebrows. So she did. She stood by her word. She took my eyebrows.
She shaved your eyebrows.
That was the warning. But this is the thing, because I have like Mexican friends, I was like, okay, well, they'll just teach me how to. Yeah. So every day when I would go to school, I would go to the bathroom and just like draw my eyebrows. Then the next one was, I had this teacher. If she's still alive today, I know that she's a witch. Miss Briggs. Miss Briggs and I, water and oil. So at that time, I had contacts, right? Mm-hmm. They were prescribed contacts, but they were color. Mm-hmm. So I would do things in class.
What color?
I had brown and hazel. And sometimes they were a little ratchet, but I would put one brown and one hazel.
Oh, my God.
So I would just be in class, you know, that like the English class, and the audio would be reading the book. And I just, you know, like looking at myself, looking at the contacts. And so Miss Briggs, one time she was like, she called my mom and she was just like, your daughter, you know, she's misbehaving in my class. And there's a boy that's dropping her off. I had a boyfriend for 1 week and all he did was walk into my class. But once she heard that, so my mom came to school. That was the first and the last time my mom came to school. She comes to school. Miss Briggs is, you know, the whole PTA meeting and everything. Miss Briggs is like, yeah, you know, Beverly's, you know, she's not being respectful, this and this and that. So my mom said, okay. She picks me up late. So she goes home, picks me up later on that day. Very good. It was in October. Maybe it was even October this month. That's why the memory is coming back. But she picks me up and she doesn't say anything to me.
That's the worst.
We drive to this, it's like a salon, one of those Chinese salons. I remember because, you know, you see that sign where it's the scissors open and close.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. But I wasn't thinking anything of it because I'm like, her hair is already done, but okay, maybe she's just coming for like a touch up. Okay, that's fine. I'm like, in my mind, I'm like, okay, whatever. She's going to discipline me when we get home. It's cool. So we walk into this place. My mom hasn't talked. She hasn't said, Pim, one word. We walk into this place and she sits me down in the chair and she looks at the Chinese lady. She said, you see this hair? I want you to cut it. I said, no. Oh. The Chinese woman was even begging her. She was like, no, like I'll cut it just a little short. Bit, yeah. My mom took the scissors from this woman's hand. I ran. Yes. And the thing was, I mean, my mom is shorter than me. I'm not going to fight my mom, obviously. But, you know, I was like, I ran to one chair. I was just kind of restraining her. She says, if you don't get this thing cut here, when we go back home, we're scraping everything off. So we go back home. And at this time, I had a girl that was like my big sister. Mm-hmm. And I'm calling her. She wasn't picking up. So I'm like, oh, my goodness. And I'm thinking, okay, maybe when my dad comes, he'll join in and, you know, he talk some sense into her. Like, come on, see. You know how in wrestling, one day, tag team.
Oh, wow.
That's how my parents. In fact, my mother was even on my... I was laid on the ground. She was on my back.
She was sitting on your back and she screaming.
Like, I had a knee on my back. It's actually like,
oh my God.
I called police because it was like,
what did they do when you went to school the next day?
Okay. So let me finish. Okay. I just remembered my dad was, I don't know, somebody had scissors and all I just remember was just seeing my hair just in front
falling.
Of me. And then my dad, you know, he felt bad, but you know, he knew, you know, he wasn't going to go against his wife. So, after that, he took me into the bathroom and just turned on his clippers. You know, he was trying to give me some
ring, you know, fix it up.
Mm-hmm. You know, I said, just bought this thing. So I go to school the next day and I took a durag, not like a male durag, but you know, India, I read.
Oh, that, yeah.
Yes. I snuck mm-hmm. one in my backpack.
Mm-hmm.
And so we get there. I got there super early because my mom took me to tutorials. Uh-huh. Right. So I go to the vice principal and I was just like, you know, please, like, can I, you know,
can I put
situation.
It on?
She sends me to the nurse just so that the nurse can check my scalp and everything, make sure that there's no, you know. The nurse was like, you know, baby, do you want me to call CPS? I said, no.
Huh?
CPS Child Protective Services. I said, no, before she cut my ear, please. Okay. So they give me a permit to wear this durag. I think it was like for 3 months. Look, I don't think it had a time on it, but, I think I stopped wearing it after 3 months because it was enough to do microgrades.
Mm-hmm.
When I tell you me that used to be walking late to class because, you know, I had this cute boo, the way I would walk to class and I'll be holding my durag like this because the guy that I was dating, he had some girls who liked him, you know, they were from New Orleans.
So they can like snatch.
They were big, you know, they were like, you know,
security heavy.
And so I'm like, I mean, I'm a small frame girl. So I say, my enemies are big. So I just made sure, like, I'll walk to class and just hold just it just in case down. Anybody.
Nobody can snatch it off your head.
Exactly. Yeah. Or if they did, at least I'll have, you know. So,
oh my God.
Yeah. That's where the comedy comes from.
Hey, my goodness. African parents. Anyway. So I know you were a part of the, like the African Students Society, and that's where you kind of started skip making.
Yes, yes, yes.
What inspirations were you drawing from? You know, because for me, when I was growing up, Papa Jasko was big on TV here. Mm-hmm. Right, Papa Jasko. We also had our local stuff that we used to watch. I'm seeing Papa Jasko because you're Nigerian. I don't know if you used to watch Superstory or Papa Jasko.
I know I've heard of. I think I was so young though.
Oh,
but I know Superstory.
Okay, yes, okay. Yes, yes. So what were you like? I mean, you said you got interested in doing skits for, you know, plays and stuff. Mm-hmm. Where were you drawing inspiration from?
Again, the woman in my family, the woman that I observed. Okay. But then also, I feel like just subconsciously, Nollywood.
You used to watch a lot of...
Yes, no. I knew Nollywood when I was like a kid, even when we got to America. Like, I remember Sofia in London and
yes,
all that.
That stuff. Yes, you know, that was big. Who were some of the actresses that, like, you used to, like, admire?
I love Nkem Owo. Sofia.
Okay,
Nkem Owo, yeah. I love him so much. I'm like, I pray I get to meet him one day. I love him. Of course, Mama G.
Mama G.
I love Rita Dominic. I think just because who she is now. I don't remember really seeing her, like, her movies as a kid. Mm-hmm. I knew she was a familiar face, but I love who she is now. But I would say for me, Nkem. And Mama G.
I watched so much. Like, my mom had this thing in her office where they used to bring Nigerian films. Mm. And you take one home, you watch it, you bring it back and get another one. So I knew all of them. Ogie Okoye, Mona Lisa Chinda, Rita Dominic, Genevieve, Stephanie Benson, Bimbo. I knew all of them.
Mercy Johnson.
Mercy Johnson. Yes, you know, back when she was a baddie.
Ah, I think they're a bad girl.
Yeah,
with 15 children.
Okay, so, You were supposed to do medicine. And apparently a friend spoke to you before you went on your exchange program in Spain.
Research. I am impressed.
Oh, come on. This is ask about us. That's insane. So a friend spoke to you before you went to Spain and said, do you really want to, what did she say?
Okay. So this is my friend Omotola. And she was just like, you know, I know that you know, you're talking about this medicine thing and you're trying to do the pre-med path. She's like, I don't know. Whenever I see you, like, you're always looking at beauty tutorials and also, you know, you're always like, that's where your attention is. So she's like, are you sure you want to do this? And so when I went to Spain, that was after that conversation, I feel like it even gave me time to just think, like, do I really want this? And I'm like, I'm not passionate about this. I'm not, you know, I'm not going to force myself. And I feel like because my parents didn't give me much to choose from. Out of what they gave me to choose from,
what
they've been instilling, I do the same
medicine,
doctor, lawyer, engineer. There really wasn't much. So I just kind of picked the one that I thought, okay, you know, I can be a good OBGYN. But it's not my passion.
It's not.
It wouldn't need to, like,
You can't even take it yourself, not to give somebody else. No, so wait, when your mom used to see you, like, playing with the mannequin and all that, what did she think?
No, she thought that's my patients that I'll be doing their hair. I said, you've never seen me hold up, you know, or
ask I just go what you
I don't know. That'll be in the ER. I'll be doing Dallas braids.
Yeah.
I never asked. I never mentioned anything about no medicine. Yeah. And even one time she was trying to bring up law. I said, Mama, when have you heard me say anything about law? Please, it's okay. It's not by force.
Oh my. But did you ever do her hair? Your mom back then?
Yes. So, and I feel like I love my mom so much, but I think it's one of those where I'm more than happy to find someone else
to do it. Oh my God.
I knew that I had to find someone else to do my mom's hair when she would come to my salon and I'll be doing her hair. And sometimes it will be late at night. I'll be tired and I'll be, you know, shampooing it, you know, giving it my arm. My mom was like, what? You need to wash. That's not how you're supposed to wash it. And one time she said, I'm supposed to wash her ear. That's how they do it. Yes. She said, when you wash. She said, when you are washing the person's head, she's directing me on how to be a stylist. So when you're washing the person's hair, you're supposed to wash their ear. Like,
at this point, you had your license, didn't you?
I had a salon.
Like,
so because I was not an ear washer, that wasn't good enough. So it's fine. Right? So I'll find somebody.
Mothers are so interested. It's like when my mom sits in my car, it's like she has to tell you everything.
Yeah.
Stop here. There's a speed run coming. Like, come on.
And I feel like because you're their child, they almost feel like it's like someone can give them the same advice that you just gave them. And they'll listen to that person. You know what? You're right. It's true. Like me, I'll book her color appointment and I'm directing the person. Hey, please do it like this. Do it like this. And even when the person doesn't do it wrong, it's like anybody but me.
Yeah.
It's okay. And I've never even colored her hair before, you know, besides like a few touch ups, but I feel like they trust other people and I just kind of let it. It's okay. I just. Yeah. Like, hey, let me find you someone. They'll do a good job.
Did you do your makeup yourself?
I did.
So, because I mean, if you go to beauty school, that's all of that.
I didn't learn the beauty school.
You didn't learn in beauty school? How did you learn it? YouTube?
YouTube, trial and error, but also I did lessons from a makeup artist, like a local makeup artist.
Oh, okay.
I don't feel like that was what like it helped. It helped to shorten the learning curve and then just practice. So I'm still practicing. But I feel like when I do my makeup and when I see it like in pictures, it doesn't come out to like the IG body. So I've just accepted that.
No, it's really good.
Okay. No, I like it. Yeah, I like it. But you know how the IG bodies, their makeup be,
They add filters. Beverly, they face tune. That's what they are doing. No, but have you ever done makeup for people professionally?
No.
Really?
So they were not chasing me. No, it's okay. I know my ministry is prized. No, fine.
Before we move on from Spain, what was your fondest memory of studying in Spain?
Oh gosh. I think, oh yes. So after my study abroad program, before I even traveled, I learned about backpacking. Okay. Usually white people, they don't tell us these things. So I learned about backpacking. I bought my backpack. After my program was over, I backpacked by myself to, I went all down Italy for the most part. Like I hit the big ones and then I went to the Czech Republic and then I flew back to Spain to fly out. So I did that by myself. And I feel like that was like the highlight of my life. And so whenever I'm faced with a struggle, like, well, maybe I'm not feeling confident about something, I'm like, girl, you backpacked by yourself as an African girl, as a black girl at what, 21, and you made it back safely. You figured it out.
So how do you navigate the language?
Italian is not too far off from Spanish, but I mean, you know, we have to like Google Translate this. You just figure it out. Just ask questions. Point, do charades. But I'm here, Abby.
Charades. Oh my goodness. So, you know, when I first noticed you, let me take it way back. I think 2017 or 2018, producer Kwame and I went to Nigeria because he worked on a documentary that got nominated for AFRIF. So we went there.
Okay.
And we went clubbing that night. Mm-hmm. And guess who was in the club? The Coupe Boys.
Oh, I was like, was it you?
No. The Coupe Boys.
The club.
The Coupe Boys. Yeah. So we kind of like walked into this situation.
Really?
Yes.
Were you part of the ones that purchased the ticket for their
time? Listen, Beverly, there was no ticket sold to us. We went to the club. Mm-hmm. These guys came in and they were standing on some counter.
So
and
you
they were doing the dance. And so for the longest time, my friends tease me because they're like, you bought a ticket to go and see. I did not. I just went to the club.
You're part of that remnant.
So you remember you did a video and you said,
oh my
God, I've never seen anybody stretch out 15 minutes of it. It's okay. Every time there's a new person. So my friends sent me that video that you did and I just couldn't stop laughing. Oh, so that was like, I think 2021 or so.
Mm-hmm. I was in Colombia, yes.
Yeah, you were so over it. You were like, did they ever like reach out to you or anything?
I know they saw it and responded. You know, just with
laughing emojis.
Like that. But I don't know, because if they curse me out, do I know French? I don't know. So maybe I'm sure.
Yeah. But let's talk about your content, right? Uh-huh. So, at which point did you start to take it as something that you would do often? Because I used to do TikTok, right? But it was very casual. Uh-huh. I'd just be going to work and then I'll do funny TikToks and it just blew up. Right. Mm-hmm. And then now it's like this, there's this expectation, like, when is the next one? Where's the next one? Mm-hmm. And I was like, nobody's going to hold me to ransom. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So for you, I mean, you're doing your hair business. When did the content become something that you wanted to like?
You know, I was against TikTok for a long time. I downloaded it and I deleted it. It wasn't until this, my one day, Weibo client, this is white woman, she was like, oh no, I feel like you'd be really, really good. Mm-hmm. And so I did TikTok. So I don't want to say I'm going to thank her for it, but she did help to encourage me and really the pandemic, because when we had that like 6-7 weeks to like no one could work, I was able to just crank out all this content. And I think I had time to rest. And so my mind was just creative. And I think I was actually really amazed by how, when I'm not like stressed on all over the place, how creative I am. And so, yeah, it just took off. Yeah.
How is it when you walk around in America? Like, are you, people see you and say, do people recognize you?
I would say if it's in a, where a lot of Nigeria, I mean, America's big.
Yeah.
When there's like a place where a lot of Nigerians are, maybe some like Jamaicans or something, then you know, I'll get a little here and there. You know, the place that shocked me, South Africa.
Really? Why?
South Africa.
Why did it shock you?
And I don't know if it's in my mind. I don't know. It's like, I know they have internet in South Africa, but for some reason, when people would see me on the street, like, oh my God, you're that, you know, I was like, wow, Okay, I feel like even in more recognized in South Africa than in Nigeria. In Nigeria, they don't want to go there.
No, you know how it is now.
No, but on the main, and it's, but it's not that bad though. Actually, I even like that.
Because yeah, yeah,
you
prefer.
I know that you're not overcharging me. Yeah. But I was just really shocked at South Africa. I was like, wow, wow, this planet is legal. I need to use to reach.
Another thing that you do that I was really shocked by, guys, she's a wedding MC.
Yes, yes, yes.
And apparently, you started doing it because you used to do hair mm-hmm. for brides.
Yes, yes, yes.
And somebody asked you to do MCing.
Yes.
How, like, why do you think the person asked you to do that? Because, like, you're doing my hair.
Mm-hmm.
At which point am I like, okay, come and do my wedding?
My first MC gig, I was hairstylist and MC. So that was, it was a lot. But I think she was really laid back. And she was just looking for an MC that could just kind of keep things going. She wasn't really as particular because she was like, listen, I just want to be married. You know, so I was putting my hashtags and everything. So she found the videos and she was like, hey, why not? And because it was my first wedding, she got a really, really good deal. So it was a steal for her. Because,
of course.
Yeah.
So, oh, okay. But you enjoy it?
Not. So the first one. I'm a perfectionist. Recovering perfectionist.
You say you're a recovering perfectionist. I've seen that.
Yes.
I've seen
I'm recovering. I feel like the first one, I was so.
In your head?
Yes. I was just like, okay, this is what I've learned from my research and this is what the MC is doing. In fact, I'm pretty sure the whole time I was walking around front of my face, I didn't even know because I was so focused.
Yeah.
And the thing about the bride, I think she was kind of tippy. She was like, oh my gosh, you did so amazing. Like she had a good time.
But you didn't think you did amazing.
Well, I'm telling you, you know what's so crazy? I almost didn't take a picture.
Yeah,
with her.
Yeah. You
so
said you drove away.
I drove away. And then I was like, you know what? Let me turn around and get this picture. Mm-hmm. So just reluctantly got the picture. If not for that picture, I don't think I would be an MC today.
Mm-hmm.
Because from that picture, it
you
prompted,
posted it and
yes.
then, oh, okay. So, would you say you're hard on yourself? Like a very critical, not hard, critical of yourself. Because the thing about it is like somebody notices what you're doing online and they give you this opportunity. And then you get in your head about how serious you need to be.
Yes, yes, yes.
So much so that you don't even take a picture and you are going.
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean? The bride is telling you, you did amazing. You're still like, she's just drunk.
I know.
Would you say you're very critical of yourself?
Not as much. I think that was my first gig. And there is a little bit of that pressure because you're like, oh, people see you. So they're kind of judging you, expecting you to... You know, but I would say now I'm more like, you know, I'm confident. I'm more confident in my MCing skills. And I think for me, what I've learned is be yourself.
Yeah.
If you have a natural charisma, you have a way to work the room. Just the more relaxed I became, not that I'm not doing things in excellence, right? I still want to make sure I know the couple, what they want. But the more I wasn't so rigid and kind of relaxed and interacted with the people, the better of a host I became.
Mm.
So I was hard back then. But one thing I did, I got a book called, what is it called? Speak With No Fear. Afterward, because I'm like, you know what? Let me actually try instead of giving up. So that really helps.
Mm.
And just doing it, you just have to do it.
Yeah. And the more you do it, it becomes very easy.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, you still get some crowds. For the most part, I would say 90% just kiss. Sometimes some crowds. I found that the crowds that have the like successful people, you know, the
rich,
like they're more stiff.
You know how, you know, rich people, they don't let themselves go. Yeah.
The joke is funny.
They just take their shot. You know, I've done some MCing gigs. My friends have, just because I do this show, everybody like, you can't talk. I mean, I did a couple of MCing gigs and what I hate about it is like, I don't know the audience. I feel like for me to land a joke,
yes.
I have to have an idea of, you know, if it's my friends, I know what to say to make them laugh.
Exactly.
But you're looking at like these old people here. You don't know so.
Weddings are tough. And so I always tell my couples, funny enough, I don't even do any stand-up anything at weddings. I tell them, please, if you're expecting stand-up special, please, please, I beg. So, but if you do interactive stuff, just little, because it's hard to connect with the 25-year-olds in the room and the 65-year-olds without offending anybody.
Yeah.
That's the challenge. So people don't understand because they see me doing African Moms Kids and all that. Mm-hmm. They don't understand that I have to also cater to the 75-year-olds in the room.
Yeah.
So you're going to get the joke, but they're not. And when they don't get the joke, they tune me out. And exactly. I become background noise.
Yeah.
And I'm nobody's background
noise. Who's
this
one talking? Can we just go and eat?
I know. Exactly.
We Stay Real is more than just a slogan. It is a promise. At Fika Tea House, we use fresh ingredients, from farm to straw boba, real fruit to house-made syrups, loose-leaf tea, and real milk. No preservatives, no nasties, just pure natural deliciousness in every sip. Besties, we are more than just amazing bubble tea. The Fika Tea House is a place to connect with friends, enjoy your finger-licking snacks, and a serene green space. So immerse yourself in the ultimate bubble tea experience. Open your favorite apps, ride-sharing, or menu finder delivery app, and enter Fika Tea House, F-I-K-A, Tea House, you can spell it, to get directions, order a ride, or have your new favorite bubble tea and snacks delivered straight to you. Fika Tea House, we stay real.
You've spoken very openly about like the boundaries you have around doing content. I watched this interview where you were like, if you don't feel like doing content, you can go away. You don't have to come and do, hey guys, I'm taking a 2-week break. You don't get, you get it when I get it. Where do you think that comes from?
I think it just comes from me learning myself and just be more comfortable and content with myself. Not like lazy, but being like, you know what? This is me and I'm not going to be for everybody and that's okay. And I'm not working to gain anybody's approval. But I'm not working to gain anybody's approval. So I'm not going to kill myself. Sometimes if I don't feel well, I just don't feel well.
Yeah.
You know, but then there are times where like here, I'm in Ghana. I'm like, oh, let's keep the momentum going. Mm. But so, do you know how difficult it is to do those skits?
It is. I know.
When I'm doing 3 characters and then I have to edit it.
Yeah.
Oh, I beg.
I can imagine. It's a lot of work.
And sometimes I'll put out one that I work so hard on it. And people are like, oh my gosh, put out part 2. See, my slap. You know what it took for me to do part 1.
That's the thing about these consumers. It's like, you literally just finished it and you already want another one. Like, let other people find it and enjoy it. What's going on?
Sometimes some skits that I do, just that I can't even do anything that whole day because my mind has to be focused on this thing. It is exhausting.
How long, like when you're doing one of those like, 3 people, 3 characters. Mm-hmm. What's the longest time you say you spent just shooting?
I think because my skits are they're more short form. So maybe maybe max like 3 hours. That's what changing everything. Yeah. But other than that.
And doing several takes.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And so, but I try to do it to where, okay, I know how to get it. But please, I can't sleep there. I can't go sleep.
How do you manage like backlash? You know, negative comments, you know, we're in a very sensitive time. And I feel like anybody that's in the business of comedy, every now and then you will step on toes unintentionally because, you know, people just be like, oh, you're making fun, or this caricature of African mother. Not everybody's African. You are giving everybody this opinion. You're contributing to the reason why people see Africans as, you know, how do you deal? Have you ever received stuff like that?
Yes. I feel like I don't get it a lot. But what I do get, I don't care. What do you want me to do? Like even the Ghana one that I posted about Ghana Jalok. Like I feel like an intelligent person will understand, you know, the joke. You have some people who's like, that's why you're not welcome here. And I say, oh, what, I'm here now.
Oh, you're here.
I'm here.
Yeah. Who's going to kick you out?
You know, and so I just have to understand that some people are just, I can't hang around with people that are easily offended by everything. I mean, what do they say? Easily offended, never ashamed. And that's the society that we live in. Okay. Like, we're just offended by everything.
I mean, okay. Well, I guess that's a great way to go about it, is not to like lock in to like all of these, because then it's even demoralizing. It's like sometimes you're like, it's funny, you can have like 1,000 comments that are like loving you. And then one of them says something negative, and that's the one that like resonates with you.
I block them. So if it's, let's say, an opinion that's an opposing opinion, I'll leave it there. If it's disrespect, I block.
You block?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I don't tolerate that nonsense. You don't like, well, let me help you.
Why are you on the page if you don't like, you know
exactly
what I mean?
Yeah.
So what kind of ecosystem have you built around this content thing? I'm wondering, do you have a manager? Do you have an assistant, or is it just all you?
Oh my gosh. Me and my assistants are locked in.
Oh, you have an assistant?
Yes. Okay. Yes. So it's so funny because I feel like whenever she's responding to emails, people actually think it's me pretending to be an assistant. Cause I mean, I've heard people do
a
that.
A lot of people
do that.
The Oddity, Sophie, she was here. She did that. We have, I think 2 other musicians I've interviewed in the beginning of their career. They did that.
Yeah. You know, and it's weird because we're not based in the same state. So sometimes when a company wants to get on a call, and they're like, oh, like, you know, where's Gail? I'm like, oh, well, Gail is offline. You know, so it sounds like I'm lying, but she's actually a real person. I have to be like, no, guys, this is her. She's real. Manager, no. I'm still looking for a good manager. There's one that I thought about using, but my spirit is like, it's not that great with this man. So
what are you looking for in a manager? Like, what should your manager be able to do for you?
Okay. Someone who understands my personality and they know who to put me in front of. That a company that will appreciate personality. And then also, that's not someone that's not going to pressure me just to do something because they want the commission. That's really it.
True.
Yeah.
Because they will put, like, you know, sometimes a manager would like just sell you to any kind of brand because of like a paycheck.
Exactly.
But if it doesn't resonate with like what you stand for, what your online persona is, then it becomes even forced.
Yeah. And I don't want that. Yeah. And I know, and they also have to understand the vision too. So I don't know. I mean, what I'm the kind of person, once I am with you, I like, you know, I like to stick with you, but I'm okay with firing people as well. I don't mind.
You don't mind with that. Yeah. What do you think about collaborations? I don't know. I've seen you do Simply Shayo.
Yeah.
I don't know how many you've done, but because most of the time I see your videos, it's just you or your multiple characters. Are you big on collaborations, or is when it comes?
I'm trying to be like, I want to do more actually, because I feel like I see beauty in there. So even now that I'm in Ghana, I'm like, oh, I want to collaborate with this person, and not just people who are skit makers. I'm not gonna lie, I really don't know a lot of Ghanaian skit makers.
I was gonna ask you, do you know any skit makers?
But even like the chef that I just recently worked with, or just people doing different things.
Which chef is that?
Her name is Chef Lifestyle. So BB, Chef BB. And so when I go to Lagos, I also hopefully collaborate with the chef as well, and just different things, podcast people. So I'm seeing that really the growth happens when you collaborate.
Yes. Yeah.
So I want to do more.
Oh, okay.
The more I travel, the more. Yeah. But I'm not one of those stingy people that's like, oh, it's just me. It's just because I just happen to have the opportunity too. So when I do, I'm like, yes, let's take it. Like, I know I'm meeting with a really amazing director, Momo Spain, when I go to Lagos, but I feel like I don't have enough time this time around.
Would you do movies? I don't know. If it casts you.
So all these kids making I'm doing, you think it's for decoration?
Yeah. That's the end goal.
Yes, ideally, I would love to like kind of dive into that world. Yes.
So well, I can see you doing that.
Yeah.
All right. So I've been watching your YouTube, channel, and I really like the, you know, the topics that you talk about and everything. So I've picked three of them.
Okay.
And we're going to give you 60 seconds. Can somebody time her for each topic? I want you to share your opinion on it in 60 seconds. Okay. Are you ready?
For each topic.
For each topic.
Okay.
I picked three out of the ones that you've done, the ones that I personally have opinions. Yeah. So when the timer is ready, y'all.
Okay.
Denzel, 60 seconds. You ready? All right. So the first one is sending money back home.
I knew I'm going to be the first one.
Black tax.
Yes.
Are you ready? All right. 3, 2, 1, go.
Okay. So I think that there is beauty in giving. I don't believe in being a stingy person. However, you do have to set boundaries, because our parents come from a generation where they had no boundaries. So even when they go to the States, they are just sending money and to the detriment of their own family.
Yeah.
And so for me, send when you can, even if, you know, they don't ask if you can send, but also create boundaries so they don't look at you as an ATM, right? You're a human being as well. You have your own family to build. And a lot of the time, they'll take your money. I'm doing, oblate. So please have boundaries. And it's not every time, yes, but it's also not every time, no, either, if you truly have it, you know, so that's my thing. Don't borrow from people to pay Paul.
Don't borrow from Peter to pay Paul. Yes. I think that's less than 60 minutes, right? 60 seconds, right? Yeah. No, you know, I think a lot of that also stems from, like, you know, people here assume that if you leave the country and you're living in the West, you are well-to-do. And then the people who leave don't want to disappoint that expectation by saying that, oh, I don't have.
Sure. Yeah.
And so they would do whatever they need to do to send back home. You know what I mean? And then we also have an extended family system where it's like, if one person makes it, they have to reach back and help everybody. But in 2025, like that's crazy, because living abroad is a lot of clock in and clock out. You're working 2-3 jobs, just trying to make some money.
I told you I'm a dog walker.
Yes, you walk dogs. You do MC. Like, and then now somebody will sit back and say, ah, this girl, I need someone. Yeah, I really like that video. Cause it's something that, like, you know, Okay. So the second one we picked, can you guess?
I don't want to guess.
Is the time already? Lagos Girls versus I Just Goes Back.
I would have never seen that one coming.
Okay. You know, because you know, the whole Madam Joyce thing was a big thing. Okay. And I saw you spoke about that. Yeah.
Ooh.
Are you ready? 60 seconds. Go.
Okay. So, I feel like naturally as women, we don't want to admit it, but there's just like competitive nature, right? And so when the UK girls go back, because you really hear more for the UK girls than the American girls. I'm sure it happens as well.
Yeah.
When they go back, sometimes people can be kind of obnoxious, right? But sometimes, you know, I do feel like the Lakers girl feel they feel some type of way. Let's not lie about that. And so, but it can also be vice versa. So where the UK girls, whoever go back and they start feeling like, oh, I'm abroad and you guys are here. And it's just, that whole time of the month is just inconvenient for a lot of people. There's more traffic. So I feel like people are just more
stressed. Already irritated by that. Yeah.
Yes. And so I don't know. I don't know if there's a solution. I don't know, but yeah.
I saw a video where somebody was saying that, it's because maybe the Lagos girls feel like the UK girls are better than them. And so when they come in, they already have that high shoulder to prove a point that you think you're better than me, but maybe they are just happy to be here. Yeah, you know what I mean?
Exactly. And I think, I think they're just, it just is a whole lot of insecurity in the club. That's what I think.
Crazy. Okay. So for the last one, I know you watched Forever on Netflix.
Okay. Okay.
Who is the biggest villain on the show?
Oh, snap. Wait a minute.
You remember the characters?
I'm trying to remember. Justin, okay, okay, okay.
The boy. The girl was Keisha. The boy's parents.
Okay.
Then there was the girl's mother. And then there was her ex-boyfriend who leaked the nudes.
Okay. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I would say the ex-boyfriend.
Who leaked the nudes?
Yes.
Christian. I think it was Christian.
I feel like he traumatized her so much. And I think she, the school she was at, it was free initially. But then she had to go here now. Her mom is having to raise up money for her school. So I feel like because of his action, it just kind of trickled down. Yeah. And also, the girl's dad that was chasing after baseball, whatever he was doing, where he was like, I don't know if he was a deadbeat dad.
Yeah, he wasn't very present. Yeah. He was like on and off.
I didn't like that.
Yeah.
I didn't like that. The way she just welcomed him back in and they're doing Christmas. I didn't like that. So my sister, I'm strong.
Honestly, I didn't like the boy's mom.
Really?
I she's coming from a good place.
Okay.
But I just felt like she was just too much of a helicopter mother, you know?
No, she didn't have to be because what are they doing in that room? So I will be that kind of mother.
Oh, I mean, it's not even about that. It's not even about the open your door, whatever. Like, just generally, like, the school, it was just too much.
You're right. I think, and another thing, so I like that the dad, even though he did not go to university, he was able to make a name for himself in the culinary industry.
Yeah.
You can tell he was disappointed. Because he still wanted his son to be the first one to go to college. But I'm like, you know, do you think, I mean, college is important. Don't get me wrong. You'll never hear me say it's not important.
Yeah.
But the fact that he was able to create a great life for himself, I wonder why, I guess it's just the prestige.
Yeah. Why he couldn't see what he was able to do and then think that he was, but I mean, it's also the mother, you know, it's like your mom and dad, your father had to support your mother to cut your hair.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
It's true. Okay,
but he was a great balance, you know, so yeah. Anyway, so Beverly, we have a listener letter.
Okay.
You're going to help us advise this person.
Okay.
Usually we, for anonymity's sake, we give them a name. I think, this is a man.
Okay. Okay.
So what are we going to call him?
Kwame.
Kwame is the name of my producer. Okay, Kojo says, hello, Joseph. Let me go straight to the point. How do I get my wife's brother out of my house? I've been married only 8 months, and this boy has been living with us for 5 months out of the 8. He is what you call the black sheep of the family. My wife lost her dad when she was very little, and her brother is her only sibling. Everything that has been done for that boy has been a waste. He got bad grades in school. His mother had to pay for him to get into high school. He dropped out of college to be a rapper. And, and for some reason, he has refused to give up on that hopeless dream. He's 28, unemployed and very entitled. For some reason, his sister and mother cannot see it. They are so patient with him and they're always encouraging his lack of talent because that boy cannot rap. I really hate that he has become a burden and I don't know what to do about it because I think my wife will hate me if I bring it up. I'm at a point where I do not look forward to going home because if it is not nonsense tracks I have to listen to for feedback, it is my wife's endless discussion on how we can support him to become independent. I don't even want to get into the amount of money I have personally invested in him since I started dating his sister. I'm tired. What do I do?
I'm not gonna lie. As you're reading this, the Nollywood in me just says, when that boy is sleeping in the middle of the night, just make one circle and just be wearing your cape, your red cape, put your candles so you can scare him out of your house. But we're not going to do that.
A rapper, it's not going to work. He will not write a new song saying, my enemies come to me in the middle of the night.
I'm So that's a tough one because I feel like you have to just create boundaries. And so it seems like he's trying to encourage him to see what he can do. To get out the house, but I do.
First of all, he doesn't believe in the talents. You know the crazy thing? Mm-hmm. I see this thing. It's such a difficult time to tell people who don't have talent that they don't have talent.
It's true.
Because we see a lot of things that look like overnight success.
Yeah.
You know, from nothing to something, somebody just blows up overnight. Mm-hmm. And so every single person that's pushing to be a rapper or mm-hmm. a movie star or whatever, they believe that their break is like a second away. Mm-hmm. So how are you going to tell them that give up? You're 28. It's, you don't have, like, no, wow. Nobody assigned you.
Yeah.
So how do you, you know, it's difficult. In 2025, when social media is there and people think that I'm just one post away from blowing, it's so hard.
I think if maybe, I don't know what the relationship is like. And so it seems like the husband is a bit irritated. So if maybe he can have a bit of compassion and try to relate to him and actually talk to him like, hey, you know, here's this job. You know, I think you'd be really great for it. Because if you're just constantly irritated all the time, some people will know this soon.
Yeah.
But maybe if you can try to kind of relate with him and try to, you know, encourage him, push him out of his house, maybe he's more cool. I don't know.
I also feel like it's just too early, like 8 months marriage is too early to have somebody. Yeah. Can you imagine? You know, I want to say this, but I don't know how this is going to sound. I feel like maybe they should have a child. Because think about it.
Mm-hmm.
If they have a child, his wife will put her child first.
Okay. But then I don't know, because then the husband can, who knows, what if the wife puts the child first, her brother second, husband last, so it can backfire.
I don't know, it's so crazy. I mean, look, you have a child because you want it and you want to give it a good quality of life, but I just feel like it's too early for this.
I think you just need to talk, really have a sit down with his wife, because is it that he's afraid to talk to her and really set boundaries?
Yeah, he's saying that he feels like his wife will hate, because he feels like the wife and the mother, they really, really like this boy. And so it's like, if you are going to say anything against all the effort they are putting into him, it's going to be like, you know.
I think it's really going to depend on how he says it.
Yeah.
If it comes as if you're attacking him, then yeah, they're going to get defensive. But if it comes as if you want better for him, and you're like, hey, look, I've been looking up some things for him, like, you actually care, they might be more open to it.
Imagine, like, maybe he has, like funky hairdo, locks, where he's trying to be a rapper, and you're telling him that, well, I found you a job where you have to cut your hair.
Yeah, and you can even tell him that, listen, this job, you know, oh, yeah, you're right. Well, maybe the job can even help to fund his rap career. So he's saying things so that you can get him out of the house, please. But you have to do it in a way that is not, doesn't seem like you're coming
at him. I think maybe you need to impress upon him the importance of having his own money.
Yes.
He's 28. Like, how long are you guys going to be feeding him and everything? Like, you have to impress upon him that, look, at some point, we're going to start a family. You need to have your own money.
Yeah.
And so even if you believe in this rap, whatever, for yourself, you need to, like, find some kind of source of income.
Stability. And then you can still do rap, you know.
Yeah.
On the side.
Like, you know, Cardi B was a stripper because she needed money. But she was working on her rap career at the same time.
Yeah.
She was doing something for money. And then she invested the money in her rap career.
Yeah.
So what are you doing on the
side? It's true. Yeah. Because I don't know. How is he? He can't be dating.
You'll be shocked.
Are you serious?
I don't know. Because he has somewhere to sleep. He has somewhere to eat. His mother and his sister are taking care of him. All he has to do is write these raps that don't hit.
Maybe you can say, you know, these girls, I don't even encourage them, but you know, the girls, I'm trying to, you know, have a bachelor pad and just push your demand out of your house, please.
Me, I also feel like time will tell. Cause look, once your sister actually, if they start a family, their children and stuff like that, I just feel like
I think the kid will help.
It will, yeah. But I don't know. Let's find a way to include their mother in that conversation because.
Yeah.
And why can't you live with a mother?
Isn't the mother living with them?
It doesn't seem. Okay. That's not really clear.
Because that's a lot. But I feel like you're right. When they have a kid, the mom will understand that. Listen, kids are not cheap.
Yeah.
And so all this money that we're spending, this man is not giving back to us. He's not pouring into this house. We needed to take care of this child, to invest in this child. So maybe you're actually right.
Because for you to say 8 months in marriage that you don't look forward to going home, that's crazy.
But then you run the risk of the child also, you know, kind of interfering with their marriage. They really haven't had time to bond with each other.
Look, middle of the night, you wake your wife up. That's the best time to have a conversation. Middle of the night.
I'm sorry, or plan B, just go by his door. Put candle. Ely.
Beverly, please. Oh my goodness. All right. Okay. We're wrapping up on this. My last question to you is, actually not my last question. Is there anything you're working on that you want to promote before I ask my last question?
How am I working on that? I think they just find me on all my socials. Mm-hmm. I do have something that'll be coming out in the works, but this will be like next year. So just stay locked in so that you won't be on the bandwagon when something actually happens.
Stay following. Don't annoy her in the comments, because if she blocks you, you'll not see it.
I feel like I'm pretty lenient though. In some comments I leave. I'm not one of those uptight people. Mm-hmm. So I don't mind.
I see. Yeah. I ask everybody this. What is one thing you want people to understand about who you are? And I ask this because, you know, as Africans, mm-hmm. we fall into this thing where everybody sees us as a monolith of where we come from.
Okay.
So, hey, you are Nigerian. This mm-hmm. is how you know, but like we're growing in a global village.
Okay.
Our influences are many. Mm-hmm. We are all not going to be Maman Kichi, or we're all not going to be, you know, so what do you want people to understand about who you are?
I love that you said that, even the whole Maman Kichi part. I think for me, one thing about me, I don't like being put in a box. Mm-hmm. If there's anything that, hey, don't put me in a box. And so even with the content that I do and that I enjoy doing, please, I kind of African mom myself to bits. You know, and some people, they want you to, that's all they want to see.
Yeah.
Right. And so, but thankfully I don't do things for what people want to see. Like, it's good to take into consideration those things, but mm-hmm. I do things because I get joy out of it, right?
Right.
And I also don't want to just be boxed into, oh, she's only funny what she does African mom.
Yeah.
Right. So that's kind of why I'm branching out into doing stuff that I don't use my African accent at all. It's not even mm-hmm. catered to the African audience, but it's still funny. Mm-hmm. You know, because again, once you put yourself in that African auntie box, I feel like you get tired of it. Like, I have a friend who she does skits and she's like, oh my gosh, I'm kind of tired of doing skits. I want to do something else. And I'm just like, then do it.
Like, when people see, they're even going to call you by your character.
It's true.
It's just.
But then also realizing, please, I don't always want to show up as I'm auntie on camera. I'm a young lady. I'm not an auntie yet. It's just a character. So for me, it's important to show different sides.
Mm.
And so when I was talking to the friend, I think she admitted that she's addicted to virality. And she knows that once she does certain skits, it's going to go viral,
yeah.
Which is fine. But I'm like, you just can't put yourself in prison like that. Mm. The viral, this is viral on Instagram. He's helping you. So what is it? And so she was even saying that for me. She was like, how do you do it? Like, you know, sometimes I'll look on your page and like, you know, you have a video that only has like 50,000 views. And I was just like, hey, girl, that shit. But for me, it's not, you know, because, you know, she's looking at numbers, which is fine. And I didn't take offense because I don't live
for that
or the views. I'm going to post whatever my journey is. I have in my bio that my journey is my niche. Mm-hmm. So if I'm traveling, I'm going to post that. If I'm linking up with a cooking creator, I'm going to post that. Even if the views don't do as much. Why? Because I simply enjoy making the content. I'm going to put it out there.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a part of my journey.
Yeah.
And so I just don't want to put myself in that African auntie box. Yes, I'll still do it from, you know, every now and then because I enjoy it.
Yeah.
But I don't want to be tied to it, you know? And yeah,
and like,
I'm multifaceted.
Yeah. When you go on your page, you see different, you see African auntie, you see travel lifestyles, and you see fashion. I see sometimes you put on the, you know, so it's very, and then your YouTube is like very different. Exactly. So I love it. Is your podcast out?
I put a halt to it because listen, even coming here to see all these productions, like, here's work. It's work.
This one is 8 years in the making.
Right. Yeah. And so I said, please, let me focus on the one that's, the YouTube one is okay.
Yeah.
It's okay. And I'll be a guest on Brother People's podcast. It's fine.
Well, thank you so much for coming on. Look, she reached out, guys. She sent us a DM, said, hey. So thank you so much for coming on our show. Yeah. All right, Beverly. Stick and Stay will be back to do shout outs.
Don't worry for breakfast, my mommy, she be baker. Tea bread, polo, all day, so yo. Chillax, relax, pako si go lay on. Papa pa aleha, papa pa steka. Kiwa, tima, as I they come me for cross me too. Oh, bomb me for bomb me too. Dipping up the paper, pay. Oh, boozy cut, he they make my day. What's up, make a say?
run off the paper. Oh, pussy cut. You didn't make body. What's up, make a say? Chica, come back to papa. Yeah, chica, come back to papa. Chica, come back to papa. Yeah, chica, come back to papa. Chica.
I hope you guys really enjoyed the interview with Beverly. It was such, like I was taken aback when I was doing the research, because like I've only known her as this one thing, and so just to find out all that she does, the cosmetology, the hair, all that, I was like, wow, you know. But I really like, I think the most profound thing for me was her approach to social media. She's not really like hellbent on numbers. She's not hellbent on like always posting. She just does this at her own time. I think it's also because she does a lot of other things. But anyway, that's one of the things that I really like took away from that. So hey, all right. So you know, over here at the podcast, we're always trying to like, you know, innovate, think of ways to like grow, think of ways to just continue to do what, you know, we're doing in a different way. And one of the things that we're toying with, or in fact, we're settling on, is, you know, a segment host. You know, we can really grow the show and have actual personalities and things that are like a part of the show. People who can, you know, just reach a new audience as well. And so we're actually looking for a segment host. Okay. Now, over the course of the period in the subsequent episodes, we're going to tell you guys how we're going to go about it. But yeah, it's something I'm really excited about, you know, just to have somebody else. You know, we had a whole obedience era. But yeah, we're looking for that. We're going to get into that soon. So just like keep your ears out on the ground. If you think that you're really like somebody that could like take the mic and like, you know, be a part of our show. You know what I mean? Just look out for it. Look out for it. And of course, hey, December is coming. You know what that means? Our day.
Our day.
All right. So today on this episode, I really want to shout out my crew. I want to shout out Denzel. I want to shout out Kofi. I want to shout out Little and Malik. They have been very supportive in, you know, helping to work on the podcast. They film our episodes. They even stay sometimes when we have interviews late into the night because of my job, I can't film on weekends. I'll be like, oh, we have to film at 7 to 8. They stay, you know, so I want to give a quick shout out to the team. Yes. Love you guys so much. We're going to, you know, pow, ow, wow, ow, through it all. But anyway, guys, also soon we come to the end of the episode. Thank you so much for listening. I hope you enjoyed it. Do what you need to do. Share everywhere. Give us comments, feedback. You know what I mean? And keep telling people about this podcast because you know it's always a good time on Cecilia Crime. My name is Joseph NC. I do this podcast with my co-creator and producer, Mr. Kwame Asante. And it's brought to you by the Gold Coast Report, premier podcast hosting network in Adahu, Ghana. All right, keep checking for us. You know it's always a good time. I'll love you, leave you, and catch you on the next one. Bye.
Every move she do, what do you see? Do you see?
throw back fast to BC. To build it, let me see. Drop by, baby, let me see. Luckily, I'm gonna let it feel. Bora, bora, then rock, rock, rock. And when we done, we go let it deal. Young Wella, Cavado, Ojo. She's working me, yourself, my soul, Ojo. Bella, my girl, Ojo. Every we go, every we go, yo. As she say, ba, let's be making it for you. She tells me, ooh, oh, yo. Two girls, oh, yo. Energy, pity, kaka, oh, yo. Ecology, love, my soul, oh, yo. My energy, start to grow, oh, yo. Apologies, mama, do, oh, yo. Ecology, mama, do. Watch your story in the sky, oh, yo. I see it in your eyes, oh, yo. Too bad to be sad, oh, yo. Speed it in these guys, I like. Just throw in these guys, oh yeah. I see it in your eyes, oh yeah. Too bad in these eyes, oh yeah. Speed it in these guys, I like. Yeah. If they kill you, then make you, oh yeah. When I get out, they do, oh yeah. So far, the breakthrough, oh yeah. Tap in the mouth, I may choose, oh yeah. And if you're too much, oh yeah. But this shit, they jump, oh yeah. Move on too much, oh yeah.
This has been a Gold Coast Report production.